Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the time that we have to spend together, not only with each other, but with you. I pray for those that are listening that, you know, the words that we speak will touch their hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would maneuver and guide us to what you want us to say. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. We love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I do want to say in advance, if we hear some banging and some clanging, we do have some workers here at the house. They've been quiet all week, but leave it to this day, right? So if, you know, I'm just going to tune it out. I hope the listener can tune it out also.
Absolutely. Well, welcome, Laura. It's just you and I today. Kevin's on assignment. I say that because whenever I hear a broadcaster say they're on assignment, they could be working or they could be on vacation. So Kevin's getting some good fishing in today. So it's just you and I. How are you?
I'm great. And I'm so happy to have this time to talk about this particular subject we're going to talk about today, because I really believe it's going to help a lot of people.
Absolutely. So today we're going to talk about the victim mentality. And we're also going to be talking about accountability. And these are things as counselors that we will run across and find that some people are in one camp or they're in the other, or they're in a mixture of both. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like and introduce some solutions at the end. But I'm going to hand it over to you, Laura. Let's go ahead and start with the victim mindset.
Well, you know, the reality is if you help people or attempt to help people long enough, you'll find that there is some pushback. There's different ways that you begin to realize I'm limited as to how I can help this person. And one of the biggest things that we've seen has been in when a person has painted themselves as the victim, which means that then they don't have any responsibility or accountability in whatever problem they're having. And that can be relational, it can be emotional, it can be financial, right? You know, so we see this a lot as counselors, you know. Now, this is not the only problem that we've run into before, is it, Joseph? We're going to talk about some other areas that we have found as counselors that we're not able to get much traction in helping someone. But the biggest one that we have dealt with, you know, is this victim lack of accountability. And I want to say, on behalf of Joseph and myself, we absolutely believe helping is good. We're all about helping. But the thing is that there are some buts, right? Because what we can have a tendency to do, and I fear that it's mostly Christians, Joseph, that run into this problem, is that we have a false sense of how we're to help people or how much we're to help people. And we don't often hear this conversation, which is, yeah, but there are some warning signs. There is some limitations that God has given even in his word. And so we're going to be helping you, the listener, today to draw some boundaries, some holy, healthy boundaries for yourself. And believe it or not, for the person that is looking to you for help. Amen. Absolutely. What do you think about what I said, Joseph?
Yeah, I have clients that I meet with and they will tell me what's going on. And, you know, whenever you're getting counseled, you know, you want to give the story. And we also tend to like to paint things in our favor. And so if something's happened to us or something's being done to us, we hear what the other side is, not necessarily what the person who is coming for counseling has done either. And so I always have to sit back and allow them to speak and tell me what's going on. But then I get to ask questions. And sometimes I will ask a question not to try to catch them, but I want to hear maybe what their response or what they typically will do when it comes to working with the other person they're in conflict with. So the victim mentality is something that can be manipulative in form. And I find a lot of people that use the victim, their victim status, are looking for something. And it could be that they're looking for sympathy or they're looking to control the situation. I'm the victim. You have to now make it right for me. And that can be problematic because goalposts can shift. Well, what does that look like? Well, you have to do this. Okay, so if I do that, then we're good. Oh, no. You still hurt me. So there's a lot of victim mentality when we look in our world today. If you look at the news, if you read newspapers, if you see what's on social media, you will see people say, I'm a victim. I need to be compensated. I'm a victim. I need the rules changed so that I can have the upper hand. And it can be politicized. It can be a social, movement. It can be something that is used as a tool to make changes for a purpose. So whether they are truly victims or not, they have convinced themselves that they are a victim and that there should be a solution or a reckoning, but it's on their terms. It's never going to be a third party coming together to help to unify or to fix whatever's happened.
Yeah. The thing is that when a person takes that perspective, then there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser and there has to be a victim and there has to be a villain. Now, Joseph, and I want to say to you, the listener, there are small percentages where truly a person is the victim and there really is a villain. We know that, listen, you can turn on the 6 o'clock news and know that's true. But we're not talking about that 10%, okay, where this is truly where a person has been victimized. We're talking about the 90% of what happens in relationships where, Joseph has set the foundation, which is somebody is taking the role that they are the ones that need to win in this. And as soon as you do that, you have to have a loser. And we know that in relationships, especially, it needs to be a win-win, not a win-lose, right? That's not a recipe for a conflict resolution. And, honestly, like you, Joseph, I've worked with so many people over the years that I've really wanted to help them understand that if you are in the victim position, now, yes, you may have been victimized, okay? But if you take the victim role, then you're never empowered, right? Number one, you're not really leaning into the Word of God because the Bible does say, in spite of what's happened, right, you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. So we have to renew our identity. And part of that, I find, Joseph, is that if a person will not come out of the victim mentality. Now, before I go further, I want to say again, on behalf of Joseph and myself, if you've been harmed by someone, there's legitimate anger, there's legitimate hurt, there's legitimate grief that have to be worked through. We're not putting that to the side. But we're talking about that once those things have been done, and you're like a dog with a bone, and you cannot hold yourself to any part of this dynamic, right? We're talking about in this particular case, a dysfunction in a relationship. If I ask the question, or Joseph asks, what role do you play in this dynamic? If you can't find even one little area, maybe it's that, you roll your eyes, maybe it's your tone, maybe, fill in the blank. then you, what will happen if you're not careful is then you can actually become very self-righteous. You can, you know, staunchly be the victim who then becomes very self-righteous. After all, you know, I know it all. I know what their problem is. I know how things would be better if they, if they would just do this. I like how you said it, Joseph. It can become this form of manipulation and control. You know, the self-righteous person who has taken this victim mentality, right, they see themselves as perfect. They can become very close-minded, and they can become very condescending. And listener, we don't want this to happen to you. I've been here. I have been the victim. I have, you know, quote unquote, and I have been self-righteous in that. And I'm telling you, I couldn't even stand the smell of myself, okay? Because self-righteousness stinks, right? And it's a part of immaturity. And what we want to do is our role is to help God's people mature. So Joseph and I are not standing over you. We're standing with you and saying there's a better way. And if you have taken this role of victim, we're saying we want to invite you to come out of that.
Absolutely. I want to paint a picture real quick of what it looks like to actually be a victim. And just like Laura said, you know, we're not saying that because somebody did something to you doesn't mean that we're dismissing it. What we want is for you to heal. And so what I want to paint a picture of is usually a victim is dealing with a wound. So if I was to be stabbed in the back, I have now a wound. I can then, you know, I feel pain. I have, you know, it's not something that's like, oh yeah, that'll just go away. I'm carrying something with me that needs to, number one, heal and keep from becoming infected. And so most of the time our wounds are mentally, we have mental wounds. We have, most of us will never have physical wounds, but a lot of us have mental wounds through trauma. It can be from sexual abuse. It could be from verbal, mental abuse, any of those types of things. Those are real. But left unattended to, left to kind of fester, they will spread and they become a whole separate entity in and of themselves. So typically what you do is when somebody gets hurt, they cover it up. They don't want to do anything else with it because it typically initiates more pain. And as pain avoiders, we don't want to go through more pain. The problem is that hurt people hurt people. And what we end up doing is we end up in a cycle where somebody who's been hurt has hurt us. And as we're being hurt, we end up hurting others. Instead of becoming better, instead of healing and becoming stronger, we end up continuing the cycle of hurt. So, you know, God gave us the abilities for our physical bodies to heal. He created our bodies to do that. He also gave us knowledge in helping in that process. And we have ways now of not feeling as much pain as it would before we had anesthetics and pain relief. But even still is that we don't have that type of stuff for our mind. And so we avoid pain and end up living in the pain. And as a wounded animal, you go to try to help a wounded animal. What usually happens, Laura, when you try to help them?
They will fight you.
Exactly. So we end up being wounded in our minds and we fight those that are trying to help us. And so what we're trying to do is bring to light something that may be going on in your own life, something that you've been wounded, you're acting a certain way, you know that there's something wrong, but you don't want to address the thing that is causing the pain. You don't want to address the thing that is hurting others too. And so that's where, you know, when we talk about the victim mentality, we also want to bring up the topic of accountability. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm tracking with you 100% because, again, you and I have worked with literally, I imagine, hundreds of people, especially hundreds between the both of us. And here's what I find is if a person doesn't lean in who is stuck in this dysfunctional state, then they will actually take on some traits that look very much like narcissism. That would be that they would invalidate the other person, right? When a person's the victim, they're not interested in what the other person's take is, how they might be feeling, right? How they might have felt offended or harmed. They can take on this role of blame, and not just blaming the other person and finger pointing, but also casting out shame. These are really terrible traits, you know, especially for the people of God, right? To take on and point to other people. And I have found that when a person is stuck in this place of being a victim, they become the people who I call the yeah buts. Yeah, no matter what I say, right? It's like boxing, right? Because I say, you know, I say something that is wise, it's true, right? It's scriptural. And they'll say, yeah, but. Now, everybody has a yeah, but. Okay? But if every response that you have to counsel is yeah, but, okay, that's a problem. Because what that tells the counselor, it tells us that your heart's not open to receive. Now, hey, listen, we've all been at a place where we're not ready to receive. There's a country song says, I just want to be mad for a while. Okay, maybe you just need to be mad for a while. But if you're going to actually heal, and I just love that you brought that word. Yes, this is our goal, is to see people be healed. If you want to heal, then that means at some point you have to lean in and you have to learn some new skills and some new tools and so, or receive new tools. So, you know, I find that when I'm speaking with a person who's stuck in this dysfunction of victim and they begin to, yeah, but they're skeptical, they're doubtful, they're really not listening. And I've actually said, though I've had to say it rarely, thankfully, Joseph, I've actually, you know, try to connect with a person. And I finally say to them, I mean, I have to do the timeout. Okay. I say, you know what? This is a monologue. Okay. This is not a dialogue. I don't know why we're even here. Because if you want to just have a monologue, you can go out, out of my office, out of my home. You can have a monologue all by yourself. And I welcome you to do that. But if you want to have a dialogue, it's like playing tennis, okay? You lob the ball and I lob it back, right? So if you're listening and you find yourself in a relationship with people, I hope that, you know, Joseph and I are putting some words to what you're experiencing. And if you're the person that keeps saying, yeah, but, I want you to know that what it looks like on the other side of the aisle for the person who's trying to connect with you and trying to bring healing.
Absolutely. I want to read a description of a victim mentality. And these are things that, you know, I've thought about a lot. I just sometimes we bring up subjects and are like, you know what, let's bring out a definition. A victim mentality is a mindset where individuals perceive themselves as powerless and constantly wronged by others or their circumstances. This perspective can lead to avoiding personal responsibility, feeling helpless, and having a negative view of life. While it can be a learned coping mechanism from past trauma, it can negatively impact mental and emotional well-being and hinder personal growth. And so there are characteristics and signs. One of them that I've brought up in other podcasts is the external locus of control. And what is an external locus of control? It's believing that external forces, rather than one's own actions, control their successes and failures. That's a mindset that a lot of people have. It's their fault. The reason why I'm not where I'm supposed to be is because people are holding me back. Or the reason why I feel this way is because of what other people have done to me. And instead of stopping and looking at themselves, they're looking at other people to excuse either the way they act or the way they feel. It's placing, it's giving them the power and the ability to control my feelings instead of having that power and ability to myself. Because if you can be going through some of the worst things in the world, and probably another topic we'll hit on another day is, you know, the difference between happiness and joy, right? Because, you know, just like happiness, happiness is fleeting. It's not sustainable. It's based on circumstances. And so what I find is a lot of people base their happiness on the circumstances that they're in instead of having joy that comes out no matter the circumstances that they're in. And so having an external locus of control is giving your power away to others and using it as a way to excuse how you feel based on the actions of others.
Yeah, I just love that we're having this conversation, because as soon as you talk about the word powerless or the sense of powerlessness, right? Just because we feel a thing doesn't make a thing true, okay? Our feelings can be good, but our feelings should never be the barometer, right, of how life actually is, because we all know feelings come and go. They're up, they're down. You know, feelings are emotions that God has given us. But again, even our emotions are corrupted. Okay. So as soon as we talk about the word powerless, right, we all can identify with this because we all have been powerless, right? And one of the things that the scriptures seek to do is to help us to understand that we are actually powerless, but by God's grace, we can become powerful in His way, in His will, in His word, by His Spirit, right? And so one of the best things I have found, and the simplest thing, Joseph, that I have found with clients is just teaching them their language. And I'm going to teach it to you also, listener, because words are powerful. You know that, because if a person says a kind word to you, you're smiling all day. And if they say an unkind word to you, you're bummed all day. Okay. So words are very powerful. So I hear women a lot use this phrase, I can't, I just can't, I can't do this anymore, I can't do this anymore, to which I always say, yeah, you can. A lot of people do. No, I just can't keep doing this. And I say, but many people do. Why don't you change the language? Because I believe that if you change it to I won't tolerate this anymore. So then I make them practice. I say, I want you to say what you said to me, which is, you know, I just can't do this anymore. Okay. Now I want you to say, I won't tolerate this anymore. And you know, Joseph, of course, they say, I won't tolerate this anymore. And I say to them, how do you feel just saying those words? And they say, I feel empowered. And I said, the reality is that when we tell ourselves, I can't, we are in a position of defeat. Now, I don't doubt that you feel defeated in the situation. But what happens is that when we change our language, we are actually changing our will. When I say I can't, I'm usually saying that person has control over me, over my emotions, and over my decisions. When I shift the language, I shift the energy, and I begin to say, I won't. I won't tolerate this. I won't go along with this. I won't pretend it's not happening. And then I help my client or myself to say, what can you control? Because the delusion can be that this other person is holding all the cards. I'll say very rarely is that true. And that's good news, because That means that 98% of us actually can control something. And even if in this moment, you know, I'm thinking especially women that are married to very bad men. Okay. And this is, you know, very common, sadly. But, you know, what can you control? Even if you can control only at this moment your yes or your no, if you can only control the way that you speak, you know, your inflection, if that's all you can control, listen, we take baby steps and we begin to take control of what we can take control of. But getting out of this victim mindset, you know, first of all, should be done biblically, scripturally, right? But then when we just begin to understand that, you know, our language either keeps us in the pit, or I think it actually builds a ladder out for women. And so one of my common things to ask women, and I learned it from Dr. Phil a long time ago, and I love it. And I love to ask people this same thing. And I know that, Joseph, if you haven't heard it before, which you probably have, you're going to love it. And the question is this: when are you gonna stop allowing other people to tell you what you're going to do with your life? When are you going to stop letting other people tell you what you're going to do with the rest of your life, right? Back to the helplessness again. Well, he won't marry me. And I'm not making fun of her. I'm just changing my voice. He won't marry me. And I've been dating him for 5 years. Okay, why are you waiting for him to tell you what you're going to do with the rest of your life? You need to make a move. And even just in that thought, right, Joseph, we go from this helpless, like, it, you know, it's not my decision, it's his decision. No, my decision is I won't tolerate being your girlfriend after 5 years, right? You're going to put a ring on it or I'm going to move on, because I want to start a family. So even in those things, I understand it's easier said than done, but hello, we get to start somewhere. We get to come out of that victim mindset. We begin to change our language and we begin to understand that we have some control, and it's always more than we think we have.
Absolutely. And even if we're in a situation, we have to understand that it took steps to get there, right? If you find yourself lost in the woods, you have to understand you took those steps and you were walking in a direction that ended up getting you lost. So let's focus a little bit on the woman whose boyfriend won't marry her. And, you know, sometimes they say, oh, I could leave him, whenever I want, or I can do X, Y, Z. And it's like, okay, do it. Oh, no, I can't do it because, you know, our finances are so tied together and it's just going to be, you know, we have children together. What's that going to look like for the children? And I'm like, okay, so you've painted yourself into a corner and now you're trying to make it right. Your foundation is all messed up. And we live in a society right now where that is normal. If you were to go back 60, 70 years, that was not normal procedures when it came to relationships. There was courtships. There was families that were, getting to know who the other families were, that, you know, you had to go to the father and ask for permission. You know, there were steps in place to be able to prevent, as best as they could, somebody from coming in and really wrecking some lives by coming together. But now we live in a society where everyone has the autonomy to make their own decisions. They have the ability to marry who they want, whether it fits God's plan or not. And then they are finding that they are in situations, they're going through pain because of it, and they want to be the victim in it, saying, well, this isn't my fault. And actually, take a look back. What were the steps that were in place? What were some of the guardrails that you decided to go over and go off-road from God's plan to get you to where you were? Now you're stuck in the mud. Now you're stuck in, you know, in between a couple of trees, you can't get yourself out. So those are things that, you know, as a counselor, I'm not going to come right out and say it, but I'm going to lead them to that and say, okay, now that you know where you are, there are things that you can do to start moving in a direction, either to be okay in the situation you're in or to move past the situation you're in. And so one of the things that, you know, a lot of people do is they want to play the victim and they are seeking it for sympathy, right? They need other people to come and say, oh, this is so hard. You know, we understand that you're living this hard life and the other person is so wrong. Yeah. Just don't look in my direction. Don't look at the steps that I took. Don't look at the things that the decisions that I made. And oh, I'm a victim and you know, they're the problem. I don't want to be seen as part of the problem. And if you are part of the problem and you recognize that, you're also part of the solution.
Yes. Amen. I love that. Say that again.
If you're part of the problem, you have the ability to be part of the solution. And so we have to step back and say, okay, I played my part in this problem. And I'm looking back at the steps that I took. You know, some people, they can be coerced. And the problem was that they didn't have the ability to say no. Or they did not give themselves the ability to say no based on what they believed, but chose the easier path to, and maybe followed what their flesh was saying, to get them in a situation to now they're entangled in somebody that they don't want to be with anymore because they made bad decisions. And so we have to say, okay, I understand you're in the situation. My question to them is, what's your plan?
Yeah.
Right. What's your plan? Do you have a plan? And is it a good plan? Are you seeking out good, godly advice? Are you making yourself accountable to someone so that they can speak into your life and say, maybe that's not a good idea? We tend to want to say, I'm the victim. I need them to make it right so that I don't have to go through the work of having to, number one, take responsibility for my part of it, and number two, work to get myself out and into the place where I need to be. Join us next week for part two. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.